strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Happy Monday. So let's start off with some good news here in Arizona on the economy. One more big business is coming here. HelloFresh is going to have a 440,000 square foot facility. It's going to be their largest distribution center in the country, probably in the world. And it's going to help them beef up their ability to distribute in the western United States. It can have up to 1,200 jobs will be added. This facility is out at out on 71st Avenue in the West Valley, where a lot of in the construction industry, they're called tilt-up buildings, those concrete buildings you see going up, those big warehouses. I would venture to say that we are going to see the I-10 going west, because it's widened where the new 202 is quite a bit, but it still narrows down to two lanes by the time you get to where Verado is going west on the 10. I would imagine we are going to see a dramatic widening of the I-10 in the near future, because we are going to be seeing a lot of traffic coming from California into Arizona, and Arizona businesses transporting into California as well. So that should be, I would imagine that's going to be happening soon. Cost of everything is going up. Now, there's an interesting narrative that's happening about the rise in prices. Here's one, CNN Business. Prices are rising everywhere you look. That we are looking at an inflation in America. Now, I was so young, I really didn't understand the terms when I was a kid. But I learned about them as I got older. There was such a dramatic shift, and this is something I think politically in America that we should be looking at. And we know politically behind the scenes it is being looked at very closely by both parties, that it was the policies of Jimmy Carter economically, with all good intentions. I will tell you that I think Jimmy Carter is a good man. I'm not making fun of him as a man. But as a president, the policies caused such a dramatic increase in inflation. You talk about right now with the lowest interest rates in housing that we were seeing, and we've been seeing for the last few years, and they continue right now. If you look at what the interest rates to buy a house in the 1970s was, it was like a credit card rate. That's how high the interest rates were back then. So that was just part of it. There was this fake gasoline shortage that happened at the time as well. But the inflation. So the average worker in America, this is what hurts the average person in America. The tax increases on the rich, and we can argue about that, and subsidies for rich people. We can talk about all of these things to try to adjust our budgets and fix things. If you want to damage the American family economically, watch the price increases. The gas prices are the first indicator. Now, one of the things we're hearing about gas, and recently there has been a hack of a major pipeline, and it's been going on, and they're saying, well, this is going to cause a rise in gas prices. And the other time it was the pipeline problem in Texas after the big snowstorm. And no, that is not what the key to this problem is, the economic policies when it comes to fossil fuels of this administration. And you can say they're necessary. And if you say they're necessary, that's where we disagree on this. But that's the political disagreement, that there's cause and effect to everything. With the policy shifts that we are seeing, we talk about taxes all the time and how it affects wealthy people and how the trickle down from that affects everyone. Well, I will tell you, and I would submit to you, and I would love to hear from someone that knows more about this than I do. When you raise prices on groceries, because everybody has to eat, and that's what's happening right now. Part of it is distribution costs. Part of it is logistical issues. A lot of these things are the cause of the problem. So the gas prices affect you immediately. Then it starts costing more to buy food. So people stop going out, they start eating more at home, and the price of groceries is going up. There's been a chicken shortage. All of these things are affecting us. And this is where, when you hear the word socialism thrown around, let me explain to you how this works, only because it's been explained to me by people who have come from communist/socialist countries. You are starting to see these shortages. Prices are going up. Your money doesn't go nearly as far. The government starts providing everything. Subsidies come into play. Families get subsidized. Well, now when the price of groceries go up, then subsidies need to go up because families can't buy healthy food like they used to. This is the downward spiral that we see in an economy when you start seeing inflation. Jimmy Carter brought us Ronald Reagan, and whether you're a Reagan fan or you're not, he was so well loved the years after his death. The 80s were a dramatic shift from the late 70s. When Reagan got elected in 80, they went to work in 81, that 8 years of his presidency were patriotic, and it was just a different time. But it was with the policies of the 1970s, from Jimmy Carter and his policies on Israel and political and foreign policy like that, to the economic policies that raised prices so much. So for people that are a little bit older than I am, that were either, you know, in the workforce then, teenagers and in the workforce, I was a young kid back then, I didn't realize the fallout of those bad policies until I got older and started learning about policies and politics. When you involve more government, it becomes more expensive. More regulation sounds like a good idea. We're going to protect the employee. We're going to protect the community. We're going to protect the environment from these evil businesses. We're going to raise taxes on the businesses so they pay their, and I'm doing air quotes, fair share. And then that trickles down and prices go up and up and up. The inflation that is happening in this country is being spoken about by all sides. It's not just the Republicans that are talking about it. It's not just Fox News. The policies of this administration, there is no coincidence here that it's driving up prices. And, you know, you can criticize. I don't want to revisit all of the problems and everything else that people said, the problems of the past. But now when we start talking less about personalities and Twitter and comments and things of that nature, let's talk about policies. Let's talk about a government and what it's doing for the average working family. You can talk about tax cuts. You can talk about tax increases for the wealthy to make it fair, redistribution of wealth. You can talk about that all you want. When you start watching families that are on a budget, and there are many, many families out there that budget everything, and they have this much money for food this week, when they go to the grocery store, they start buying cheaper brands of things, less of things. They start buying things that kind of compromise what they did before because they're on a budget. When it comes to gasoline prices, it can be the difference of having gas to get to work all week long. It can be the difference in whether or not you go out even for dinner one night a week because you need that money for gas in your vehicles. Small businesses suffer with these price increases, and it's happening everywhere. That's just one of the headlines. Average U.S. gas price jumps 6 cents to over $3 a gallon across the country. So we are seeing good news here in Arizona with job creation. I mean, that I think that's phenomenal. I really am thrilled with the direction Arizona is going with industry, with real career jobs and not just menial labor jobs, that it's giving people an opportunity at a career as opposed to just having a job. And major industry is coming here. And usually when industry comes, they bring with them healthcare benefits of their own, where they're offering employees a chance at getting on the healthcare, you know, getting healthcare through health insurance. All of those things changes how a society works. But if you're going to start raising prices and not giving companies the ability to raise paychecks because you're taking more money from the job creators, you're squeezing the very middle class and working class that you claim to be helping. We can and should argue about political ideology. This is the real give and take of this. This is the real cause and effect of this. And so instead of arguing personalities all the time, which is what our elections boil down to, let's talk about the policies that work. And I guarantee you that there are people out there of every political stripe that are complaining about the paying so much more for gasoline. Coming up in a moment, an Arizona Republican says he is ashamed of the election audit. We'll talk about it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate you spending some time. Here in Arizona, we are getting national attention for the election audit that's happening down at the Coliseum. We have now been told somewhere in the neighborhood of 250,000 to 275,000 ballots have been counted. I think that was the number. It was a 225 to 250 as of Saturday, whatever the numbers are. It's far below where they said they would be. This Friday was the original time frame in which they thought they'd be done. The reason why is that the Coliseum, where they are, and by the way, the Coliseum is at the State Fairgrounds, 19th Avenue, where 19th Avenue and Grand and McDowell all intersect right there is where the State Fairgrounds are. And the Coliseum has been a landmark here in Arizona for decades. It's where the Phoenix Suns originally played, was inside that building. It's affectionately called the Madhouse on McDowell. They still hold concerts there and high school graduations. And so the state of Arizona, the Senate that authorized this, only has the Coliseum until the 14th of May. And then they have to vacate the building because it's already been reserved for at least five, I believe it's 5 days, maybe more, for high school graduations. So they've got to vacate the building, which means pick up all the tables, pick up all the machines, pick up all the ballots, and ship them somewhere else into a secure location, monitor them for 24 hours a day for a week or whatever it is, and then ship everything back inside the Coliseum and start over. So we originally were told that they believed they were going to be able to expedite the count enough that they would be done by the 14th. That's gone by the wayside late last week. That changed to there was never a deadline, which I'm not calling them liars, but they said, you know, it doesn't have to be the 14th. It's just a convenience issue. The other thing we've heard from the state fairgrounds, though, is that there really hasn't been any talk of extending the time inside the Coliseum. I don't know about the clarity of that. What is the deal? What date are you going back in there? Have you cut a deal with the state fairgrounds to do this? Or is it still a concept and no one has really nailed it down? But there have been so many issues with the way this is perceived. Now Republicans are pushing back. I put the call out last week for Republican voters. Anyone out there, we have something called the open mic line. In the interest of more voices on the show, I really honestly, I mean this sincerely. We do a lot of interaction on social media, and I read a lot of tweets and a lot of comments. But to get your comments and hear from you is why we started the open mic line, so that you can call in, especially if you're an expert or have a big, strong opinion on an issue we're discussing, and you can leave that message, and we can play some of the good ones on the air, and I want to hear from everyone. And so the open mic line is 602-200-2733. That's 602-200-2733. If you're a Republican voter and you want to voice your opinion on this, whether you're for it or against it, but especially if you're against it, I would love to hear why. Because we're seeing Republican support for this begin to waver. Now, I would say there's a lot of people that thought this was absurd that kept their mouths shut. They just didn't want the political fight. And if you look at what's happened with our Secretary of State, now, I don't believe that the vast majority of people that are in favor of this recount that's going on are also good with or condoning threats against the Secretary of State. But she's getting threats. And it's absolutely beneath all of us that they do this. But Paul Boyer, who is a state senator, called it embarrassing. We've got story after story from people talking about how this has now gotten to be bad and absurd, and it's going to backfire. And that's been my biggest concern with this audit, is the bigger picture. And honestly, I voted for Donald Trump twice. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This is all about the integrity of the elections in Arizona. And I understand when someone says, we don't trust what happened in Maricopa County, we would like to have a second look at this. The county board of supervisors did their own independent audit. That wasn't good enough for the people in the state Senate because they didn't like the companies that they used for the audits. So they're doing their own independent recount of every single one of the 2.1 million votes that were out there. But they're using black lights that are looking for watermarks. They've got special cameras that are looking for bamboo in the paper. I mean, all of these conspiracy theories, there is no basis in fact in any of this. There is no, again, if this were someone looking for a search warrant, and I mean this, I'm not trying to make fun. I goof around on a lot of things, but I'm being sincere. If this were a cop looking for a search warrant and went to a judge with this evidence and said, someone told us that there's drugs being dealt out of this house, so we want a warrant to go into that house so that we can make sure or arrest people if they're selling drugs. There's no way on the planet that a judge is going to give a search warrant in that regard. So when you have the person that's kind of behind all of this say in a press conference at the end of last week, somebody somewhere said some things. There was a rumor that 40,000 ballots were flown in from China. People have a right to be concerned of both parties. You've got their secret ballots. Nobody knows what you're doing. You can say, well, people can watch, they can log in online. People don't want to log in online. People don't want to look at this and watch what's happening. Yes, we want things to be fair. But when you start looking for bamboo in the paper and black lights looking for watermarks, Now you're going and doing the very things that you were accused of from the beginning. And I think this is going to backlash badly if they're not careful. I think it's going to backlash badly. In a moment, wait until you hear Dr. Fauci on masks. It's hysterical. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you spending some time with me. It is the Mike Broomhead Show, and we are talking local issues as much as we can. And the mask thing is national, but it's a local issue. And in this regard, we're going to talk about Dr. Anthony Fauci. We've talked about, and I wouldn't call it necessarily hypocrisy, but he definitely contradicts himself. In recent weeks, he was on first with MSNBC, and he was saying that he didn't believe we were going to have a fourth wave of the virus, that the chances were small, and that we may see, and he did use the phrase, we may see some more cases, but because of vaccinated people and because our most critically at risk were being vaccinated, and I'm paraphrasing now, that the chance of a fourth wave was very, very small. The very next day, 24 hours later, he was on with Anderson Cooper on CNN and said he's very concerned about a fourth wave because of the uptick in cases we're seeing. Why the difference? First, the masks didn't work. Then the masks worked. Then you had to wear two masks. And then that we don't need to wear masks outside. Now what's going on? So let's talk about indoor masks. Let's look, see if this sounds like a bit of a contradiction here. This is what Fauci is saying about wearing masks indoors in the coming, the near future.
Former head of the FDA, Scott Gobley, say it's time to start relaxing the indoor mask mandates. Is he right?
No, I think so. And I think you're going to probably seeing that as we go along and as more people get vaccinated. The CDC will be almost in real time, George, updating their recommendations and their guidelines. But yes, we do need to start being more liberal as we get more people vaccinated.
So, again, the part of this issue, and we had a discussion here inside the building with some people because I fit outside of a demographic and I'm always interested to hear other, you know, I can guess, but I wanted to hear from people. And so the younger demographic, which is the ones, the demographic that is getting this virus at the highest rate, is the 20 to 44 year old age group. By far, without a doubt, the most number of infections. But believe it or not, they're not even close to the highest number of deaths, and they're not even close to the highest number of hospitalizations. So just look at the numbers. 20 to 44 years old, there have been over 38,000 cases of 381,000 cases, 381,000 cases approaching 382. I would imagine we're probably going to be at 382 within the next couple of days. So let's call it 382,000 cases since the tracking of COVID-19. They've had 11,738 hospitalizations and 712 deaths. Those numbers are minimal when you listen to this. There have only been 114,000 cases of people over the age of 65. So with less than a third. They've had over 27,000, so almost 28,000, which is more than double the number of hospitalizations. And listen to the number of deaths, 13,036. So 712 versus 13,036. So when you look at what's happened with our numbers, and Dr. Fauci is talking about relaxing this. Well, now we need to get, if you want to start watching a big decline in numbers, you've got to start vaccinating that group of people that is getting it and spreading it, which are the 20 to 44-year-old people in the prime of their working life, finishing college, going into the workforce. They are the more social people, all of them. And it is interesting to me that when you want to get those people vaccinated, I thought it might be a matter of I'm not going to get the shot because I'm not the one that's going to die from it. And from everybody I talked to, and it was very obviously it's just anecdotal because it's just a few people I've talked to. Every one of them said, no, it's more about a matter of convenience, but more so it's a chance to get back to normalcy. That once you get the shot, you can take the mask off and you can go back to more of a normal way of life. Well, unless we're going to relax these mask mandates, why would they bother? They're not going to be seriously ill from it. Statistically speaking, you have such a small, small chance of even going to the hospital. Never mind death. Death is so small. But the hospitalization rate is also very, very, very small. Why are they going to take the time to go out of their way to take a vaccine that isn't going to change their life? That was one of the big issues. Dr. Fauci is talking about we need to relax them. If you want younger people that aren't in danger, if you want them to get the vaccine, you better start lifting these mask mandates for vaccinated people. The problem lies is how do you enforce this? Because there's no way you're making everybody show a vaccine card or they got to put their masks back on. No business is going to walk around and say, let me see your vaccine card before I let you take in here without a mask on. No one's going to do it. Restaurants aren't going to do it. Big businesses, small businesses aren't going to do it. So how do you do this? It's the honor system. That's how. And that's where this pushback has come from. So then he was asked about seasonal masks.
Is the mask going to be something we have with us in a seasonal aspect?
You know, that's quite possible. It is conceivable that as we go on a year or two or more from now, that during certain seasonal periods, mm-hmm. when you have respiratory-borne viruses like the flu, people might actually elect to wear masks to diminish the likelihood that you'll spread these respiratory-borne diseases.
So now it's more than just coronavirus. Now it's the flu, that they've seen a dramatic drop in flu infections. So now, for the good of the country, what are they going to do? Are they going to have mandates? Do they have recommendations? How many businesses are going to jump on board with this? This has got people's heads spinning. We all want to get back to normalcy, and now what they're trying to say is, well, masks may be a part of the being normal. I hate the phrase new normal. I hate it. But is that what they're talking about? That now, come cold and flu season, they're going to start recommending that businesses require masks. And the service industry, let's go back to the one that has been hammered so hard. How many restaurant chains will require their employees to wear masks even after this pandemic is over? We are bordering on absurdity. This is all so, we've never done anything like this before. The numbers in Arizona, when you look at what's happening now in occurrences and hospitalizations and deaths, if this were the flu, we would be talking about it, I'll bet. But I'll bet you it wouldn't be daily updates. I'll bet it wouldn't be breaking news. I'll bet it wouldn't be to the extent that we're talking about this. And now they're going to lump these infectious diseases all together and say wearing masks may become a seasonal requirement. Now, whether it's a government requirement locally or if it's going to be they're pushing businesses to do this, I can't see America go in that direction. I can't see the citizenry putting up with it. Can a parent consent to letting someone else hit their children? If you don't know the story, we're going to talk about what happened at a Florida school coming up very, very soon.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. This is more of a public interest kind of a story than anything else. And it was a very interesting video that has a lot of people talking. Now, I grew up in a time where corporal punishment was pretty normal in public schools, where if you got in some trouble, you went to the principal's office and you got a whack. And sometimes you got more than one. And so it was a different time. We're in a completely different world now. I mean, I'm talking about the late 70s when I was in middle school. And there is a video that came from, oddly enough, a little town in Florida on Lake Okeechobee called Clewiston. And now, not that it matters for the story, but Clewiston is down around the side of the lake. It's where U.S. sugar is. It's where the sugar is refined, where they grow around the sides of the lake where it's grown, and then it's harvested, and it's refined in the town of Clewiston. And so I'm very familiar with this little town. We played in that football stadium a lot. An elementary school there made national news because there's video of a principal whacking an elementary school kid on the butt with a paddle. Well, come to find out that it was a parent that authorized this to happen, and the parent is quoted in the story. And the parent said that she sacrificed her child. I sacrificed my daughter so all parents can realize what's happening in this school. The hatred with which she hit my daughter. I mean, it was a hatred that really I've never hit my daughter like she hit her. So investigators who are wholly inconsistent with an earlier claim that she didn't understand why she was being summoned to the school. So they're looking into this because they're saying, according to Florida law, that not only can you beat your kids, but you can authorize another adult to beat your kids. And so I used to look at this and think, you know, we're becoming soft, that some kids wax if that's something that, you know, and I'm not talking there. We all understand that there's a big difference between spanking and beating. And there's a big difference between spanking and beating. And I'm certainly never going to make light of child abuse. There is a difference. Any parent that hits their child in anger is no different than any other adult that would hit a child in anger. When children were young, spanking was a part of my upbringing. There's no doubt about that. And I am none the worse for it. I was at times a hellion. There was an old routine, an old comedian that talked about getting dragged out of a store and everybody cheering as the children were getting beaten. We were the kids, my brother Tom and I were closer in age than my youngest brother, and we were the kids that were climbing in the clothes racks and disturbing people and screaming and running one end of the store to the other and made my mother absolutely crazy. Trust me, spanking was a part of my childhood. And wax were a part of, you know, when you went to the principal's office. And I don't think I ever got a whack while I was in school. But I had friends that did. I hung out with a crowd of peep goofballs. But it's a different time now. And I honestly would love to ask you, name another individual that you would authorize to spank your child, whether they did it with anger, with a paddle, or with a belt, or smacked them on the top of the head. Name another human being outside of the principal's office or the school system that you would allow to put their hands on your child. That's why I don't understand how we do this. I am all in favor of law and order in a school, and I wouldn't want to be a teacher on a bet. It's a tough job. We don't toss kids out. We suspend them every once in a while. But there's such a low number of expulsions in school. Teachers sometimes are trapped with horrible kids that have horrible parents. And they're disruptive and there's not a lot you can do. But are we going to condone paddling these kids? Because this was, and I've got to admit, I watched the video, and this is a very small child. This is an elementary school child. And those whacks were hard. And there was no doubt this. I thought, you know, I thought, man, that is pretty aggressive. But does it matter how aggressive it is? Does it matter if the principal is angry when she does it? Because it was a female in this picture. Does it matter if she's angry when she does it or if it's matter of fact? Are we correcting behavior or is it abuse? Maybe it's both. I don't know. Maybe it's both. But you I grew up in a pretty rough and tumble place. It wasn't like we were any spanking I ever got, I deserved. And my mother probably should have spanked me first thing in the morning for stuff that she didn't catch me doing. And, it is. I'm not trying to be soft on discipline. And that's a great conversation about using corporal punishment in your home with very young children that don't understand yet, that have no concept of when they get older. You know, it's one thing if you're spanking a 5-year-old, you pop a little kid in diapers on the butt versus smacking around your teenager. There is a difference. And especially now in the school system, if you want to go online, you can usually find the video out of Clewiston, Florida. And I think once you see the aggression that this principal uses, but she's not in any trouble because the parent authorized it. The parent was, I believe, the one taking the video. So, and then after it was over, said this was a lot of hatred. Well, if she was spanking my child with that much hatred after the first whack, there wouldn't have been a second one. So it's a very interesting question in pop culture. What adults do you authorize to put their hands on your children? What parent authorizes another adult to spank their child? And it's been that way in the public school system for a very long time. I get it. But that doesn't mean that it shouldn't change. And especially in a situation where it looks like somebody's pretty dang aggressive about the whole thing. And this one sure looked that way. Talk about the border after the top of the hour. Did you hear this comes up at 11:20? We do it every day at 11:20. But at 11:05, what's happening at the border? And one Texas sheriff that is furious about how the National Guard is being used. The details are really going to tell the story.